Xiang, tell me more about your research.
Okay, so I would like to provide a brief introduction about our research just published. So in this research, we mainly focus on how Arctic climate change contributes to global climate change. You know, during the last several decades, the Arctic surface air temperature has been increased more than twice as fast as the global average. So, however, from 1978 to 2012, the scientists and the scientific community found that the global warming rate has been decreased during that time period. So we're wondering, so what really caused the decrease of global warming? There has been a large number of studies try to understand that. So, for example, the people, the scientific colleagues look at the frequency of El Nino. So what's El Nino? El Nino is frequently occurred increase of tropic Pacific Ocean sea surface temperature. Okay, it's called El Nino. So they found from 1998 to 2012, there was less El Nino events occurred. So El Nino generally occur every 5 to 7 years, but during those time period, so there is no major El Nino occurred. So the scientists attribute the global warming slowdown could be attributed to that reason. Okay, there's also a number of other studies. For example, some scientists found there's more heat went down to the deep ocean. So the surface temperature increase has been suppressed. There's also other explanations, other studies about other phenomena. However, when we look at the observational data, that is the basis for estimated global warming rate. We found that there is a big gap over the Arctic. So there's almost no observations over Arctic. When we look at the global surface air temperature data, so we found the most dataset did not include the Arctic observations. Even Arctic observations is very limited. So in this study, we try to understand, so what's the contribution of a warmed Arctic warming make a contribution to global warming? So we use mathematical approach, and then we use limited Arctic observations. So we improve the spatial coverage and the temporal coverage of the observational data over the Arctic, and then we re-estimate the global warming trend. So we found after including Arctic observational data, there was no global warming slowdown, or there's no hiatus of global warming from 1978 to 2012. Actually, by using our approach, we have also extended our data over the Arctic back to the beginning of last century and to the current days. So we found that the global warming, because of contribution of amplified warming over the Arctic, the global warming has continued. There's no slowdown and there's no the pause. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That this is major story of our study.
And so you looked at the period from 1978 or from 1998 to...
Oh, 1998, I'm sorry, yeah.
Okay, and mm-hmm. and what did your research say about the pace of global warming in the Arctic itself?
When we look at the Arctic itself, by using our approach, using our data, we also found the Arctic warming has been accelerated. For example, generally, we talk about the Arctic warming at the pace more than twice the global warming rate. But from our study, we found that during recent years, especially after mid-1990s, the Arctic global warming rate is about 5 to 6 times global average. There is a strong acceleration of Arctic warming. Yeah, this is a major, it's the most prominent feature in the global warming studies, in the global warming research.
How did you go about filling those data gaps? How were you able to extrapolate when, you said that there was not enough data to include the Arctic? How did you go to reconstruct that data?
Okay, that's a good question. So generally, the community also try to fill out the data gap over the Arctic. For example, during recent several years, some scientists use the Cregan method to extrapolate the Arctic data by the data surrounding the Arctic. But actually, there is no real Arctic included in the global surface air temperature data set. So, because there is the International Arctic Buoy Program, they have observations within the Arctic, actually in the center of Arctic Ocean. So the International Arctic Buoy Program starts from 1979 to current time, but unfortunately, those data sets have not been well included in the global surface air temperature data set. That data set has been commonly used to estimate a global warming rate. So in our study, we used that International Arctic Buoy Program data with a limited time coverage. We use a new approach. It's not extrapolate. Actually, we use the DINEOF approach. So we will interpolate, fill the gap of the data of the Arctic, and also we fill the gap back to the last century, back to the beginning of last century, and up to right now. Yeah, it's a different part. It's not extrapolation. Extrapolation mainly uses surrounding data, but we, in our approach, we already include data within the Arctic. Mm-hmm. Even those data set is available for limited time period.
I am looking right now at a map mm-hmm. of the Arctic that is included in your paper, and it shows dark brown spots over large parts of the Russian Arctic, and with the darker spots being there, mm-hmm. but also stretching over parts of northwestern Greenland and deep into the Canadian Arctic. Can you explain mm-hmm. what this map tells us?
This map tells us the surface temperature increase in rate. So the dark red color along the Eurasia East Coast area means there is the largest increase of surface air temperature. So the blue color shows there is a smaller increase of surface air temperature.
Mm.
Yeah. So why there is a largest increase of surface air temperature along the Eurasia coast area? This is because, from our understanding, this is because of a number of reasons. The first one is the atmosphere circulation. Actually, we published a paper back to 2008. We look at why there is acceleration of Arctic warming, why there is acceleration of sea ice decline. We found that atmosphere circulation has been changed. That means the wind pattern has been changed. So associated with that wind pattern change, there's increased heat flux from atmosphere, from in the atmosphere from a lower latitude into the Arctic. That causes an increase of heat energy over the Arctic, and then causes an increase of surface air temperature. It's one major region. The other one is when we look at the sea ice, generally there's a dramatic decrease of sea ice around the Eurasia coast area. So that can help release of heat from the ocean. So, and then the surface air temperature got increased.
Great.
Yeah, there's also a number of other reasons. You know, Arctic climate system is very complex. For example, with the increase of heat flux into Arctic, with the increase of moisture into Arctic, there could be increase of cloudiness and the increase of downward and longwave radiation. That those processes also contribute to the increase of surface air temperature.
This is fascinating. What is next for your research? What are you planning to do next?
Okay, yeah, it's an excellent question. You know, the Arctic change or the fast Arctic climate change is really challenging. So first, the research I'm working on is try to understand what exact physical process or physical mechanism responsible for the changes of Arctic climate system, especially why there is a faster increasing rate of Arctic warming. This is the first topic I would like to work on. The other one is because there is dramatic changes, significant changes over the Arctic. So those Arctic changes in of the Arctic climate may influence mid latitude and lower latitude climate and weather. For example, during the last couple of decades, we found that there is an increase of frequency of extreme events in U.S. and Canada and Eurasia and China, Japan, Korea. So we try to understand if there is a linkage between warm Arctic and the extreme events in the mid-latitude. This is a really topic, a big topic for the scientific climate community.
Great. Thank you very much. Really appreciate you taking the time to explain this to us.